going to be studying out of the book of 2 Kings. It's another one of those books where it gets very complex and try to keep everybody straight. And hopefully try to do at least a decent job with that. Made some charts to help keep track of that. As we mentioned in the past, the books of 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, 1 Kings, 2 Kings actually compose one long book. They're divided up mostly because it's just hard to carry around a scroll that big, especially when they were back, when they wound them up. So it was divided up, especially between 1 Kings and 2 Kings. You can see the division was kind of arbitrary because it actually divides it right in the middle of one king's reign. It is believed that the book, especially 1 and 2 Kings, that section at least, if not the whole, was probably written by multiple prophets at the times of which these events occurred, and then were edited into a final form, one whole book, and most likely by Jeremiah. One of the reasons for that assumption is this writing style between 1 and 2 Kings and Jeremiah are very similar in style, but also there are things like, for instance, the passage in Jeremiah 52, that chapter, is almost exactly the same as 2 Kings 24, 18 through chapter 25, verse 30. They're almost identical, so that again points out that it's probably Jeremiah who was the least involved in the writing of the book. Most of what is covered in 2 Kings was written before the Babylonian captivity. For example, in 2 Kings chapter 17, so we're going to start out 2 Kings chapter 17, and in verse 34, it says, "To this day, they do according to the former manner. They do not fear the Lord, and they do not follow the statutes or the rules or the law or the commandment of the Lord commanded to the children of Jacob, whom he had named." Also down in verse 41, it says, "So these nations fear the Lord and also serve their carved images. Their children do likewise, and their children's children, as their fathers did, as they do to this day." Well, one of the things that changed when they children of Israel came back from Babylonian captivity is they finally, for the most part, gave up their idolatry. These statements here that says to this day they're still involved in idol practice then tells us that this, at least this portion of it, was written before the Babylonian captivity. Now to also to understand what's been going on, the United Kingdom, the one that was started by Saul, continued by David and Solomon, lasted about 112 years. The northern kingdom of Israel, after it was split by Solomon's son, it lasted another 209 years before it was overran by the Assyrians. The southern kingdom of Judah continued past that time for an additional 136 years before it was destroyed by the Babylonians. What 1 Kings does is covers the division and the decline of Israel and Judah. 2 Kings basically covers the deterioration and the destruction of the both divided kingdoms, showing how it just they were both just wiped out because of what they had done. So the first part of 2 Kings, going from chapters 1 through 17, covers about 131 years of history. It starts with Amaziah's reign in 853 B.C. Adjusted here. Ahaziah's reign in 853 B.C. to the Syrian conquest, which is in 722. So we're going to take in the first part from chapters 1 through 17, they're still united. Or still, both kingdoms are there. Both the northern and southern kingdoms are still in existence. One of the things also we're going to take note of Israel's 19 kings that they had, not one was considered righteous. All but the very first of the nine dynasties and the family lines that are founded were basically founded upon murder. There's nine different dynasties, nine different families that ruled the northern kingdom. For the most part, each one succeeded the other. If it changed dynasties, it changed because somebody assassinated the prior one, for the most part. But starting in 2 Kings chapter 1, again, we're trying to do a brief survey of each book. So in 2 Kings chapter 1, Ahaziah is mentioned in 2 Kings chapter 1. And as we mentioned, it was split between the end of 1 Kings and the beginning of 2 Kings. He was an evil king. He governed northern Israel. He reigned 2 years. And what we're told about him is that he's the son of Ahab, a follower of his father's ways. And his death, which is basically what's covered in the first chapter, is that he fell through a window. How he managed to fall through a window, we don't know. But he fell out a window, basically damaged or hurt his feet in some way. And he asked whether he would live. But instead of going to God for that question, he sent off to the worshipers of Baal's Zebub. But while those messengers went to ask these priests, God sent Elijah to meet the messengers, and he told them that Ahaziah would not get up from his bed before he died. They turned around, went back to Ahaziah. He says, "What are you doing back so soon?" And he said, "Well, we met Elijah, and it wasn't worth going any further, because he said you weren't going to get out of bed before you died." Ahaziah didn't believe the messengers, or he was after wanting to punish Elijah for giving him such bad news. And in 2 Kings chapter 1, starting with verse 9, is a very almost comical response by God through Elijah, because he sends out men to collect Elijah to force him to come and explain to him why he made this statement. And starting with verse 9, it says, "Then the king sent to him a captain of 50 men with his 50. And he went up to Elijah, who was sitting on the top of a hill, and said to him, 'O man of God, the king says, come down.' But Elijah said to the captain of 50, 'If I'm a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and consume you and your 50. Then fire came down from heaven and consumed him and his 50. Again, the king sent him another captain of 50 men and his 50. And he answered and said to him, 'O man of God, this is the king's order. Come down quickly.' But Elijah answered and said, 'If I'm a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and consume you and your 50. Then fire of God came down from the heaven and consumed him and his 50. Again, the king sent a captain of the third 50 with his 50. And the third captain of 50 went up and came and fell on his knees before Elijah and entreated him, 'O man of God, please let my life and the life of these 50 servants of yours be precious in your sight. Behold, fire came down from heaven, consumed the two former captains of 50 and their 50s, and now let my life be precious in your sight.' Then the angel of the Lord said to Elijah, 'Go down with him and do not be afraid of him.' And so he arose and he went down to the king and said to him, 'Thus says the Lord, because you sent messengers to inquire of Baal-Zebub, the god of Ekron, is it because there is no god in Israel to inquire of his word? Therefore you shall not come down from bed to which you have gone up, but you shall surely die.'" And like I said, it's almost an interesting response. But what the two first captains did were not going to treat Elijah properly. It's not until he got to the third one that he finally said, "You know, God's behind this man. And because he pleaded, God says, okay, this man will actually treat you properly. And so he went. The next king that we're going to look at is Jehoram, also known as Joram. He's also king of Israel. He occupies from chapters 2 through chapter 8, verse 24. Not all those chapters are completely his reign, but basically, actually from chapters 3 to chapter 8, roughly about that time period. He too is the son of Ahab. Ahaziah did not have any children, so his brother Jehoram took over. Elijah is in chapter 2 taken up to heaven in a whirlwind. Elisha then becomes the next prophet. As he travels, we find that Elisha now has the power that Elijah had. Elijah is one of the rare prophets that demonstrated a lot of miracles while he was living. Elisha is another one like that. Elisha purifies the waters of Jericho as he travels. We talked about in the past about Elisha and the youths that taunted him and the two bears that came to settle the matter. In chapter 3 of 2 Kings, Misha, who is a ruler in Moab, rebels, and Jehoram combines with Judah and Edom to put down the rebellion. And that's recorded in chapter 3. That's a very important chapter from a historical viewpoint because we found the steel that Misha wrote recording his adventures in trying to rebel against Israel. And it's fascinating because the steel is told from Misha's point. Of course, he tries to dress it up, making it look like he did real well. But you can see between the two accounts that they match up very well. So this is one of the chapters we have historical verification for. In chapters 4 through the beginning of 6, we have a number more of Elisha's miracles. That's where the widow was given oil because she was too poor, and Elisha gave her that by filling up pots. There was a hospitable Shunammite woman who was made a room just for Elisha since he traveled quite a bit, gave him a spot to sleep whenever he was in the area. Her son had died at one point. He came and raised him up to life. There's also a story about him curing a poisonous batch of stew. Some poison mushrooms got into the stew and Elisha cured it. There's also a story of the feeding of 100 people. Very similar to the feeding that Jesus did of the 5,000 to 4,000, though there's only 100 people in this one. There is the healing of Naaman, who was the leper. And also one event where some prophets had lost an axe head because it flew off the handle, and Elisha makes the axe head float in the water so they can retrieve it. In 2 Kings chapter 6, starting with verse 8, going down to verse 23, this is an account of the Armenians trying to capture Elisha for relaying state secrets. They found out that every time they tried to make a move, Elisha was telling the kings what the Armenians were going to do, and so they tried to take Elisha out with disastrous results. A siege is then placed against Samaria, the capital of northern Israel, in chapter 6, going into chapter 7. And the king there blames Elisha for all his woes. And Elisha explains, no, that's not where the problems are coming from. And in chapter 8, Elisha then predicts the death of Ben-Hadad in Damascus. Hazael would replace him, much to Israel's grief. So in other words, even though Jehoram's reign covers basically chapters 3 to 8, most of those chapters are really focusing on Elisha and the things that he has done during his lifetime. What makes studying especially 2 Kings so difficult, not only are there, you've got two sets of kingdoms, and we're bouncing back from northern Israel to southern Israel, to northern Israel to southern Israel, going back and forth all the time. Because the two families got interrelated, they started using similar names. So while Jehoram is reigning in Israel, Jehoram starts reigning in Judah, and it's a different one. The same name, same nickname even. He's in Judah. The only thing they have, really, not only do they have similar names, they also have similar attitudes. They're both evil. Jehoram in Judah reigns 8 years. He was a son of Jehoshaphat, but Jehoshaphat had married a daughter of Ahab, which explains Jehoram's attitude. And so he was named after his uncle, who was reigning in northern Israel. He followed the ways of Ahab. And the only reason that he was left on the throne was because God had made a promise to David. That's mentioned in the scriptures. That's the sole reason. He was so bad, God would have taken him out. But because he promised David to leave somebody on the throne, he was left there. During his reign, Edom revolted. David had taken Edom and made subject to Judah. During his reign, they lost Edom. Then the next king is Ahaziah, or depending on where you read it, he also has two other names he goes by, Johazah and Azariah, which is unfortunate because Ahaziah is spelled very similar. It's easy to get mixed up. But they are different ones. But Ahaziah is, again, it covers from 2 Kings 8:24 to 9:28. Down in Judah, he only lasted a year, but he managed to stamp himself as being an evil king. He also followed the ways of Ahab. What happened to him is that during one of the battles against Damascus, he was helping his uncle, Jehoram, fight off Israel. In particular, Hazael of Damascus, which is what Elisha had warned them against. And he got wounded in that battle and died from it. What then we do is jump back to Israel, up in the north, and Judah, or Jehu, I should say, becomes the next king. Jehu covers chapters 9 and 10 in 2 Kings. He's a king of Israel. He's considered an evil king, but he reigned 28 years. What happened with Jehu is Elisha is sent to Jehu, anoints him to be the next king of Israel, and gives him the task that God had promised that Ahab's household would be completely wiped out. And Elisha says, "You're the man who's going to do this job." Jehu then sets off to Jezreel, where he murders both Jehoram of Israel and Ahaziah of Judah, because Ahaziah is of Ahab's household. He's a descendant of that household. And he also then slays Jezebel. He then proceeds to kill off all the descendants of Ahab that he can get his hands on. He then turned around and wiped out all the worshippers of Baal. And you think he's a marvelous king because he's doing all these things that God told him to do. But for all the good that he did, he left Jeroboam's idols up. And for that, God had basically offered him the opportunity to have a long dynasty. But because he would not remove those idols, God said that he would only last four generations, his dynasty. And because he didn't follow God, he began losing territory. Various nations around the northern part of Israel started basically taking chunks of Israel's territory. And it started shrinking dramatically. We then jump back to Judah in chapter 11, where we have the story of Adaliah. Adaliah was Jehoram's mother. She's the daughter of Ahab. When her grandson, Ahaziah, died, she decided that was a great opportunity to take over the country. And she's, grandma decided to stage a coup. She wiped out all the descendants that she could get a hold of. She wiped out all her kids and grandkids. One was rescued by the high priest, and she missed one. But she killed them all off, and obviously she wasn't a very evil queen. The only queen that ever ruled in Israel. The high priest Jehoiada and his wife Jehosheba managed to rescue the youngest son, who's Joash. And Jehosheba is Joash's aunt. And that's how that rescue was staged. Jehoiada, the high priest, then stages a rebellion and has Adaliah killed. But she manages to reign for 6 years before that happened. Then we turn to Joash. He starts out good, but he ends up being quite evil. His story is covered in chapter 12. He's a king of Judah. He's an evil king. He lasts 40 years as a king. Joash started at the age of 7. He ruled well while his uncle lived and advised him. But after his uncle's death, then Joash became and turned wicked, following after the evil men that were in his kingdom. One of the falses listed in 2 Kings is that he took all the restored articles in the temple from the early part of his reign and then used them to bribe Hazael to leave him alone. Hazael's that king up in Damascus that killed his uncle and his father. And so he took those things that he had from the early part of his reign, bribed the guy to say, "Don't bother me." He was not a popular king. He ended his kingship being assassinated by his own servants. Going back then to the north, one of Jehu's sons, Jehoahaz, boy, that one's hard for me to say, is covered in the first part of chapter 13, verses 1 through 9. He's an evil king. He lasts 13 years. Because of Hazael, he suffered constant war with him and Hazael's son, Ben-Hadad. We also have problems with Damascus kings. They tend to like the name Ben-Hadad. And so you're constantly getting different generations still having the same name. But he's still having trouble. And part of the trouble is because his relative down south had bribed at Hazael to say, "Hey, keep Israel occupied so they won't bother me." And so that's where those things came from. The problem with Jehoahaz is that not only did he suffer constant war with Hazael, his army was wiped out to almost nothing. In fact, in 2 Kings chapter 13 and in verse 7, Jehu was losing territory. His son basically lost most of the army. 2 Kings 13 and verse 7 says, "For there was not left to Jehoahaz an army of more than 50 horsemen and 10 chariots and 10,000 footmen, for the king of Syria had destroyed them and made them like dust of threshing." You know, most of these armies, they were raising 100,000 men. He's down to 10,000. And a few chariots and not much else is left to him. He's then succeeded by his son, Joash. Unfortunately, notice that Joash and Joash are overlapping a little bit. But he's succeeded by his son, Joash. He's also an evil king in Israel. He reigned 16 years. And he also continued the sins of Jeroboam. But one thing we should note about him is that he did respect Elisha. Elisha is still the prophet at this time. And Elisha even visited him at the time of his death to talk to him. He was offered victory over Aram and Damascus. But what Jehoash did was very timidly, he was told to take an arrow and strike the ground. And he was very timid. He only did it a couple of times, three times total. And so he was told he was only going to get three victories. If he had boldly struck the ground like four or five times, Elisha said you would have won it totally. But he didn't do it, so it was shown that his heart was not, he just was a coward at heart. Now we go back to southern Israel, and Amaziah becomes the next king. He's a good king, but what he's remembered for in 2 Kings chapter 14, this verse 20 verses, 1 through 20, is that he was a king who did not rule with his whole heart. He was a good king, but he was really not into being righteous. He retook Edom, following God's instructions, but then he turned against God because somebody attacked him while he was gone. And he lost the war with Israel, and Israel had attacked from the north. And Jerusalem was plundered, and basically Amaziah blamed God for all his loss. And he was not a popular king. His own people chased him down and assassinated him. But he didn't manage to rule 29 years. Going back to northern Israel, the next king was Jeroboam, often called Jeroboam the Second. He was the second king in Israel that was named Jeroboam. He was considered an evil king. He did reign 41 years. What's interesting is even though he was an evil king, God did allow him to restore Israel's borders. He was able to push the enemy nations back and get the borders back to roughly where they were before. His great-grandfather, Jehu, was starting to lose it. He got it back. Jumping back to Judah, the next king was Uzziah, or Azariah, depending on which section you're reading it from. He's covered in 2 Kings 14, verses 21-22, and then also down to chapter 15, verses 1 through 7. He was a good king. He actually reigned 52 years, one of the longest reigns of the kings. He's remembered mostly, though, for becoming a leper, because he thought he had the right to offer incense to God, and he tried to force the issue, and God struck him with leprosy. So even though he was a king and he reigned, and technically he reigned for a long time, his reign actually overlapped with his son because he became a leper and he had to go into isolation. But it's at this time, got to switch over here, because he does have a long reign. We get into a series of dramatic changes in Israel. So we jump back and we look at, there was a king. I left off one on the last one. Hold on a second. Yeah, grab one more. Right here at the very end, Jehu's last ruling son was Zechariah. And since 2 Kings 15, 8 through 12, he manages to rule all of 6 months. He was an evil king. He was killed as God prophesied to Jehu that he would have four generations on the throne. He got to four, but he only lasts 6 months. He was keeping his word, but that was all he was going to get. Then we get a lot of changes, dynasties. Shalom is the one who did the killing. He manages to reign all of 1 month before he himself, in turn, was assassinated. So he managed to assassinate Zechariah and then turn around and he himself gets assassinated. Then in the next one, 2 Kings 15, starting with verse 16, is Mahayim. He's also an evil king. He lasts 10 years. What he's remembered for, noted for, is he killed all the pregnant women in the town of Tisbah. He also bribed the king of Syria to keep him out of Israel, and then turned around and taxed his own people to pay the sum that he negotiated to bribe the king of Assyria. Didn't stop Assyria. Syria still went on with their plans to attack Israel, but he thought he could delay it by bribing them. His son, Pekahiah, in 2 Kings 15:23-26, managed to reign for 2 years and then was assassinated. And then Pekah, which is the end of chapter 15 and actually a little bit at the beginning of chapter 16, becomes the next king. He's again an evil king. He runs 20 years. And Assyria, during his reign, basically starts taking away the borders, starts chewing up all the edges of Israel as they're preparing to take over Israel completely. So he's gradually, as he's reigning, losing more and more territory again. But then he's assassinated. He is then, during his time, we jump back over to Judah. And the next king down in Judah is Jotham. He's a good king. He reigned 16 years. And really that much more is told about him. The next king is then in Judah is Ahaz. Chapter 16, verses 1 through 20. He reigned 16 years in Judah. Problem is that he started following after the other king's idolatry. And because of that, he lost the territory that his grandfather gained. He also tries to bribe Assyria to help him, which was really a silly thing because Assyria is already trying to take over Pekah's territory. So he sends up money to do what Assyria is already planning to do. So he didn't delay anything, he didn't help anything other than he financed the war for Assyria a little bit. Then the last king in Israel was Hoshea. That's in 2 Kings 17. He's an evil king. He managed to last 9 years. It was during his reign that Israel was wiped out and carted off into captivity. The reason for that is given to us in 2 Kings chapter 17. It actually starts from verse 7, goes down to verse 23, but we're going to read verses 21 to 23. So 2 Kings 17, 21 to 23, it says, he had torn Israel from the house of David. They made Jeroboam the son of Nebat king, and Jeroboam drove Israel from following the Lord and made them commit great sin. The people of Israel walked on all the sins that Jeroboam did. They did not depart from them until the Lord removed Israel out of his sight, as he had spoken to by all the servants of prophets. So Israel was exiled from their own land to Assyria until this day. Basically what was being stated is that Jeroboam, the first king in northern Israel, had a chance, but he started up idolatry. Israel never left it the whole time it existed. And so for that, God finally said, you're gone. Starting then with chapter 18, it gets a little easier to follow. Is we only have one set of kingdoms to look at, and that's Judah. It covers 155 years of history, from Hezekiah's reign to Jehoiakim's release from Babylon. Since Judah is the only one had one dynasty and a continuation of the line of David, 8 of his 20 rulers do what is right in God's sight. But that's not very good odds if you start thinking 8 out of 20 are good. The rest are evil. And since we don't have to jump back and forth between two kingdoms, at least it's a little easier to talk about. The next king in Judah is Hezekiah. A lot of people have heard of Hezekiah. He was a good king. He reigned 29 years. What he's known for is his trust in God. In 2 Kings chapter 18, starting with verse 3, it says, he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, according to all that David his father had done. He removed the high places and broke the pillars and cut down the Asherah. He broke in pieces the bronze serpent that Moses had made, for until those days the people of Israel had made offerings to it. It was called Neshutan. He trusted in the Lord, the God of Israel, so that there was none like him among all the kings of Judah after, nor among those who were before him. For he held fast to the Lord. He did not depart from following him, but kept the commandments of the Lord commanded Moses. And the Lord was with him whenever he went, and he was prosperous. He rebelled against the king of Assyria and would not serve him. He struck down the Philistines as far as Gaza and his territories, from watchtower to fortified city. So Hezekiah was a good king, and what he was known for was how well he trusted God. He was a king of faith. He pushed back the Philistines. He rebelled against Assyria. When the Assyrians came to punish him, that's probably one of the things that are most well known about Hezekiah. Hezekiah did give them the remaining wealth of the temple to get them to back off. They didn't, and then God didn't wipe out their army. Just one night overnight, over 185,000 soldiers were killed. Which caused the Assyrians, they didn't want to admit it, but they caused them to panic and they left. That's in 2 Kings chapter 19 and verse 35. So that night the angel of the Lord went out and struck down 185,000 in the camp of the Assyrians. And when the people rose early in the morning, behold, all were dead bodies. Hezekiah is also known because there was one point in his reign he became ill. He was told to prepare for death, but after pleading with the Lord, he was granted 15 more years. Unfortunately, he didn't use those 15 years well. He showed off his wealth to representatives of Babylon and was told that as a result, Babylon would be back to wipe Judah out. And that's in 2 Kings 20, starting with verse 16. Then Isaiah said to Hezekiah, hear the word of the Lord. Behold, the days are coming when all that is in your house and that which is your father's have stored up to this day shall be carried to Babylon. Nothing shall be left, says the Lord. And some of your own sons who shall be born to you shall be taken away, and they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. Then Hezekiah said to Isaiah, the word of the Lord that you have spoken is good. For he thought, why not? If there will be peace and security in my days. Which is a sad statement. Hezekiah says, well, if that's what God wants, that's fine. At least I get peace. Even though it left his descendants with troubles. Manasseh is then the next king. He's an evil king. Again, a very long reigning king. I think it's the longest one. He reigned for 55 years. What he did was restore all the idolatry that Hezekiah got rid of, and even then start sacrificing his own sons to idols. And we read about him in 2 Kings 21, and we're going to read verse 2. It says, he did what was evil in the sight of the Lord according to his despicable practices of the nations whom the Lord drove out before the people of Israel. For he rebuilt the high places that Hezekiah's father had destroyed. He erected altars for Baal, made an Asherah, as Ahab the king of Israel had done, and worshipped all the hosts of heaven, and served them. And he built altars in the house of the Lord, of which the Lord has said, in Jerusalem I will put my name. And he built altars for all the hosts of heaven in the two courts of the house of the Lord. And he burnt his son as an offering, and used fortune-telling, and omens, and dealt with mediums and necromancers. He did much evil in the sight of the Lord, provoking him to anger. And the carved image of Asherah that he made, he set up in the house of the Lord, which the Lord said to David and to Solomon the son, in this house and in Jerusalem, which I have chosen out of all the tribes of Israel, I will put my name forever, and I will not cause the feet of Israel to wander any more out of the land that I gave them to their fathers, if only they will be careful to do what to do according to all that I have commanded them, and according to all the law that my servant Moses commanded them. But they did not listen, and Manasseh led them astray to do more evil than the nations which had done whom the Lord had destroyed before the people of Israel. So in other words, basically under Manasseh's reign, he managed to get them so evil that they were worse than the Canaanites that God had destroyed so that Israel could come in, is what's being said. And basically, he outdid Ahab in evil. And Ahab was one of the most evil kings that you can name. And his reign was a reign of terror. Take a look at verse 16 of 2 Kings 21. Moreover, Manasseh shed blood, very much innocent blood, until he had filled Jerusalem from one end to another, besides the sins which he made Judah to do, sin, so that they did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. It's a reign of terror. He was killing people right and left. It wasn't a good time in Israel or in Judah. Ammon's then the next king. He's also an evil king. He manages to reign 2 years. He was just like his father. And he was assassinated by his servants. Josiah was then the following king. In 2 Kings 22, starting with and 2 Kings 22 and 23. He's a good king. He reigns 31 years. He restores the temple. He found the books of the law that had been lost since Manasseh's days. He started to follow them. His dedication basically bought Judah a reprieve from the destruction God had planned. God said basically because of Josiah's dedication that he would delay the destruction of Israel past his time. Back to 2 Kings 22, verse 18. But to the king of Judah, who sent you to inquire of the Lord, thus shall you say to him, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, regarding the words that you have heard, because your heart was penitent, and you humbled yourself before the Lord, when you heard how I spoke against this place and against its inhabitants, that they should become a desolation and a curse, and you have torn your clothes and wept before me, I have also heard you, declares the Lord. Therefore, behold, I will gather you to your fathers, and you shall be gathered to your grave in peace. And your eyes shall not see all the disaster that I brought upon this place. And so they brought back word to the king. He's also given very high praise down at the near the end of chapter 23 and in verse 25. 2 Kings 23, verse 25, it says, before him there was no king like him, who turned to the Lord with all his heart and with all his soul and with all his might, according to all that the Lord law of Moses, and did any like him arise after. Here's a king who totally changed and gave himself completely to God. And if you think about it, he said there was no king like him before. He outdid David and Solomon and all the other good kings that you can name. This was a good king. He has high praise. He does get killed, though. He got killed in a battle against Egypt at the end of his reign. The next king was called Shulam, was his nickname, which matches the guy who caused a rebellion that only lasted a month earlier. But his actual name was Jehoaz. He's an evil king. He kind of like his namesake. He didn't last very long. Shulam lasted a month. He lasted 3 months on the throne. He was captured by Pharaoh Necho and died in Egypt. He didn't get to die in Israel. Jehoiakim is then replaces him. He's an evil king. We're up to chapter 23, verse 34. It goes all the way to chapter 24, verse 6. He reigns 11 years. He's a puppet of Pharaoh. Pharaoh put him in place because he took away his brother away. During his reign, Babylon's attacked. Jehoiakim surrendered basically for, he gave up for 3 years. He allowed himself to be underneath Babylon for 3 years. But then he rebelled, and Judah suffered the first devastating blow for Nebuchadnezzar. And then during his reign, all the upper class people were carted off into captivity. Jehoiachin, which is his son, nice way to make it, try and keep it straight. Jehoiachin, or sometimes known as Conan, or Jehoiachin, he's mentioned in 2 Kings 24, 6 through 16, chapter 25, 7 through 10, 27 to 30. He's an evil king. He lasts 3 months. He was carted away in the second attack by Nebuchadnezzar, along with all the rest of the middle class and the remainder of the upper class. So only the poor people are left in Israel now. And he ended up living in exile in Babylon. He was carted off, and while he was technically king, he was king in exile. His uncle then was selected, His uncle then was picked by Nebuchadnezzar as a puppet king to reign. He reigns 11 years. Eventually he, though, also tries to rebel, and that's when the Nebuchadnezzar came in the third time and just basically leveled Judah, just destroyed it. He got tired of all the rebellions. And his sons were killed before him, and then he was blinded and then carted off to Babylon, where he died. Finally, another person, Gedaliah, was put into reign. He is not of David's lineage, and so he was actually called a governor. He was not called a king because he wasn't of David's lineage. And he tried to get the people to live under Babylonian rule, but they didn't like it, and he was killed. So the books from 1 Samuel to 2 Kings were written basically to record the rise and fall of Israel. It's not an exhaustive history, but it is a thorough account showing how the failures of each successive king led to Israel further from God and to his eventual destruction. Israel kings and his people failed to heed the warnings sent by God's prophets. God did bless the nations at times when there were good kings reigning, but he brought judgment very consistently when the evil kings reigned, which were much more frequent than the good kings, and it basically shows how a nation just falls apart. And we learn a lot from it because history tends to repeat itself. People tend to go more bad than to go good, even though you have periods of time when people try to go back to doing what is right. There was as brief of a summary as I could manage for 2 Kings. Do appreciate your kind attention. I'd like to offer an opportunity as we're here this night, that if there's anyone who's not a child of God, there's a good time to do what is right. The world is filled with evil people, and most people tend towards evil. There's a time to take a stand to do what is right. And if there's anyone here who is a child of God, would like to pray to the brethren on their behalf, why don't you come forward if you stand and sing the song of the selected.